May the peace of Christ be with you. This is Molly Vetter, Senior Pastor of the Westwood United Methodist Church in Los Angeles. Welcome to our Sanctuary Gathering podcast. Here we share the sermon preached on Sunday as a part of our Sanctuary Gathering. We hope that in these words you will be drawn closer to God and made more ready to love your neighbor. As a congregation, we embrace the words of the Hebrew prophet that are etched into the stairs that lead to our building. The calling to do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with our God. We also believe that we're a richer congregation for the diversity of people who participate in our community, and we celebrate the diversity of age, race, gender identity, and sexual orientation that participate in our church. You are welcome in this place, and we hope you will participate. We invite you to do your own theology, to wrestle with questions of faith as we seek out what it means to be faithful Christians today. You're welcome to join us not only by listening in to this podcast, but we also invite you to join in our congregational life. Every Sunday, you're welcome to join us for worship at 9:30 a.m. You can join us in our beautiful sanctuary in Los Angeles at the corner of Warner and Wilshire, or online via our church Facebook page. All are welcome in our midst, and we thank you for being a part of our church. May these moments be a blessing to you today.
I'm going to do a scripture reading this morning from Psalm 104. O Lord, how manifold are your works. In wisdom, you have made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. Yonder is the sea, great and wide. Creeping things innumerable are there, living things, both small and great. There go the ships and Leviathan, whom you formed to play in it. These all look to you, to give them their food in due season. When you give to them, they gather it. When you open your hand, they are filled with good things. When you hide your face, they are dismayed. When you take away their breath, they die and return to dust. When you send forth your spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the ground. May the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in his works. Who looks on the earth and it trembles? Who touches the mountains and they smoke? I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have being. May my meditation be pleasing to the Lord, in whom I rejoice. Let sinners be consumed from the earth, and let the wicked be no more. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Praise the Lord. This is the word of God for the people of God.
A reading from the Gospel of Matthew. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your span of life? And why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all of his glory was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear? For it is the Gentiles who strive for all these things. And indeed, your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Before the sermon starts, I have a question for you. Now, as you know, our Loft worship community is a conversational community, and so it's ordinary to have discussion questions as a part of the worship service. We, from time to time, do that in a more abbreviated fashion here in the sanctuary. We're going to try a compromise today. So I'm going to ask you a question and invite you to turn to someone near you to have a little conversation, to listen and to speak. You get bonus points if you talk to someone that you don't know. You get like a, that's like the A+ grade. You get like a B if you talk to someone that you didn't come with. You know, C's get degrees, and sometimes they're surgeons, John says. So I guess the minimum is I hope you'll reflect on the question. The question is, what are you worried about today? And you could do top three things you're worried about today. These can be big or small. The scripture passage that we read from the Gospel of Matthew has Jesus saying, don't worry. Which I found is always a great strategy for getting people not to worry. Anyway, so invite you to call to mind what you're worried about today. Top three things. Turn to someone near you. We'll take like a minute and a half for this. So if you do this in a pair, at 45 seconds, I'll say switch. And that means if you've been speaking, you should start listening. It'll help you pace a little bit. But you all are good and faithful people. So if you end up with three people, you just got to figure it out. All right. Share your worries. All right, thank you for sharing your worries. I am grateful for your willingness to engage this exercise and to meet one another. I invite you to join me in prayer. Oh, Holy Spirit, may my words and our thoughts and our lives reflect the fullness and beauty of your grace. We pray in your holy name. Amen. I love these verses from the Gospel of Matthew, where Jesus invites people to refocus, not on their worries, but instead on the lilies and the birds. I certainly have found that in my life, when I'm feeling consumed by worry and anxiety and stress, some deep breaths and some time outdoors hardly ever makes it worse. I love that this is the like full hippie Jesus who's like, don't worry, just look at the flowers. It's gonna be great. There's a lover of tie-dye, organic farming, and all things a little granola deep inside me. This invitation of Jesus to just like be at peace. I'm grateful that it's in our scripture. And also, this week as I read it, I found myself resentful. Like, isn't that nice that Jesus tells the people who gathered there as he preached a sermon from a mountaintop, that Jesus just tells them not to worry about what they have to eat or what they're going to wear. Now, there's days when I'm worried about what I'm going to eat or what I'm going to wear, where I've clearly become consumed with my own individual life at the expense of being tuned in to what God is doing. When I'm worried about which fabulous dress I'm going to wear to church on Sunday morning, it's a question of privilege and obsession of detail that can occupy a lot of energy. And in our world where the toothpaste aisle is brimming with so many choices to make, it's easy to find our attention directed toward choices that are of little consequence, right? In the big picture. I have a friend and I'm not endorsing this point of view, but I have a friend who doesn't trust recycling because he thinks it's a plot to get us trying to read small numbers on the bottom of plastic containers and put them in the right can so that we don't notice our world being taken away from the masses. There is a sense to which, a degree to which I sympathize with him, that when we're given so many things to figure out, so many choices to make, it sometimes feels like we're being distracted from the things that matter most. And this passage that Jesus, that has Jesus preaching in the Sermon on the Mount, inviting people not to worry, ends with an invitation to seek first the kingdom of God. It's not just an invitation to let go of worries, but an invitation to take up a pursuit of beloved community, a pursuit of a life that reflects the love and justice that God desires for us. These verses then come to us today as people who carry some worries. Y'all had I'm just going to say observationally, that I didn't perceive a lot of hesitation in the community today to be able to come up with something to say, to reflect something you're worried about. There are deep anxieties and worries on our hearts as all of us navigate this fragile and vulnerable life, and as we move through a political moment together as a people. This is bigger than parties or candidates. I find myself deeply worried about our future. In the midst of a rise of a way of thinking we've called Christian nationalism, that is a patriotism that trades away democratic values for authoritarianism, and a Christianity that trades away love of neighbor for fear and expelling the neighbor, the stranger in our midst. These are difficult times to be a part of this community of faith in the midst of U.S. America, as we try to figure out how to navigate deep concern and this moment where the values we treasure so deeply as being the call of our faith seem to be in short supply, seem to be drowned out by voices that would exclude, that focus us inward in a kind of individualism that is corrosive to community and that is contrary to the heart of the gospel. So we're worried. We're concerned about things. We're passionately, emotionally affected by this moment. As Jesus spoke to the people who gathered to hear him preaching from that mountain that day when Matthew captured these words, he was speaking to regular folks there in the rural parts of his community, not to the powers that be, but to ordinary people. And when he said that you shouldn't worry about what you have to eat, I suspect there were in the crowd people who had and would know hunger. And so this invitation not to worry is not just the invitation of to those of us who face the privilege of multiple good options, but an invitation to trade worry that's for people who know real need. For us humans, there's no way of getting out of this life without facing moments of true need, of crisis, of reckoning with our own physical limitations, with the mortality of our loved ones, with the losses around us. Too many in our community grapple with the struggle of shelter and food to eat and safety. In this moment in our political climate and world, we worry about the safety of immigrant neighbors and transgender siblings and all of these people who are a part of our community and who we believe bear the image of God. And so this day, I come back to Jesus' words there in the Gospel of Matthew, as he blithely says, "Don't worry, just look at the flowers." And I wonder what they have to say to us here in this moment, not just in the sweet moments when the grapple choir and children's choir joins our chancel choir for a beautiful anthem about the beauty, the power, the grace of simple gifts, but in the hard moments where we're faced with pain, where we're living with fear, where we're uncertain about what's ahead. Jesus' invitation not to give all our attention to our worries is a refocusing beyond ourselves. I love the humble invitation of Jesus' direction, which is not to worry, but to think about the birds and the flowers. It's humbling as wise humans to be told that we have lessons to learn from non-sentient beings, that the flowers have something to teach us, and that the bird brains have figured out things that we don't yet see. Maybe that's part of the gift of this passage, this sermon that Jesus preaches to his followers. It's a humbling, a recognition of our belonging in something that's so much bigger than ourselves, our being set in a community context with all creation here on earth, an invitation to be people who give of ourselves in service of others, who change our self-identity, no longer satisfied to exist as individuals, but as people who believe that we are a part of the body of Christ, that we belong in a living, creative, powerful relationship and community that's bigger than just ourselves. I'm so overjoyed that in this worship service, we get to formally receive some people into membership in the church. We try to be very welcoming as a community. And so membership is not something that is advertised on your forehead or your name tag, right? So as to not create rigid boundaries between insiders and outsiders. And also, the invitation to choose membership is a choice of freely choosing to belong in the body of the whole that can make a difference for us as individuals and also for us as a whole. So later in the service, as we receive new members, as we baptize two people into the faith, we also invite everyone here to contemplate those commitments that are a part of the basic baptismal commitment of our belonging in the body of Christ, and use this as an occasion to see what you're ready to say yes to or reaffirm your faith and commitment to the whole. Now, we're under no delusion that this congregation, that belonging in Westwood United Methodist Church or the United Methodist Church or any number of churches is the only way to connect to God. We know that we are but one piece of the much larger cosmic body of Christ that stretches through both space and time, and we affirm our belonging as already being true. You don't need a certificate, but we're happy to give you one. Also later in this service, as we collect the offering, you'll have an invitation to set a giving goal or make a pledge of commitment to the church for 2025. Over the last 2 weeks and through today, we've been inviting you to contemplate the invitation to give of yourself in service to a relationship and community that values all creatures, great and small. Borrowing the line from a beloved hymn, we find ourselves drawn in to relationship with a God who's known by both powerful, majestic forms and also tiny, seemingly insignificant ones. It seems a great Sunday to talk about the lilies and the birds. I will add that in this text, as Jesus is talking about the lilies and the birds, he does compare the noble lily to King Solomon, who was less well-clothed than the flower. There is even tucked into this beautiful, free text, an invitation to hold up our priorities against the powers that be in the world, religious and political powers, as a kind of plumb line or mirror to check ourselves and see how we're doing, what we're focusing on, and how we're participating. We do this not because it's easy or it always feels good, but because it matters and because it changes us to know and claim our belonging in something bigger than ourselves. I love and treasure that this congregation worships together in two very different styles and in different architectural spaces, that we share a common commitment to values of compassion and love and justice, and that we express that regularly, weekly in our worship gathering, in different forms and ways that push back on a culture that pushes us toward our individual self-interest, that is ready to have us be captive to fear. Our worship gatherings here in the sanctuary and in the loft are a counterpoint, an embodiment of a different way, a rehearsal for the practice of living out love and justice. I love that our congregation has increased its own diversity, and our church staff is more diverse than it ever has been before. At all levels of leadership, gender identity, and our race, and our life stories are more diverse than they have ever been. And this is a choice that we've made as a congregation that guides us toward the kind of community, the kind of world that we're called to be a part of. And our congregation brings with it beautiful diversity of story, of life, of generations, of sexual orientations, of race and class. We are together practicing what it could be like to try on the gospel. Some of us have lots of experience with this, having lived long lives of faithfulness, having given generously and used our time and energy and prayer and focus and relationship for the building up of others, for the honoring of our mutuality in our interrelationship. And some of us are ready to be gently drawn or forcefully nudged to take a next step deeper into trusting that we belong, that we have a part to play and something to offer for the sake of love and compassion and justice. Let today be an invitation to faith, an invitation to generosity, an invitation to belonging, knowing that you have a part to play, that you are deeply loved by God. Later in the service, during the offering, we're going to share some beautiful music, an original song by Ben Carroll, who's a part of our loft band. It's called Begging for Your Love. And it's an expression. This is my interpretation of Ben's song. I probably should have checked this with him before I launched into this. I treasure this song as a prayer crying out in longing for an experience of love. And as your preacher, I want you to know that God is not and will not withhold invitation to love from you. The grace of God comes before we're aware of it, and whether we recognize it or experience it or feel it or not, and it invites us to be a part, a fundamental part of the whole of the body of Christ. But there are times, y'all, there are times when I do not feel it. When I find myself begging for signs of the love of God, the hope of our faith, progress toward things that we care about, and in that moment, we find each other. And it's our belonging together in the community of faith that gives us, that gives me, the strength to persist, to bother to show up, to call out a genuine prayer, pleading for an experience of God's love, trusting that God's love is there and that we are invited to be changed by it. May it be so. Amen.